The Bible reading today consists of three readings from the book of Proverbs, reading from the New International Version. Proverbs 15:33. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 16:5. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Proverbs 16:16-20. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. The highways of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their lives. Pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts the Lord.
We didn't have a quiet time earlier, and so I'd like us to just pause at this time and center our thoughts on our Lord and quieten our hearts before Him in a brief quiet time. Let us do that now. Our Father, as we come to you and your word that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces to the division of soul and spirit. It causes us to see ourselves as you see us. So we pray that your word will be that living, ancient power in our lives today. As we look at it, as we consider it together, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at the book of Proverbs and skills for living, and today we're looking at the first of the themes that are through this book, and that is pride and humility. And so I'm a good person to talk about this because I struggle with pride. And so it is an issue I struggle with, and I suppose everybody here in some form or other struggles with pride. It is an issue that we face in life, and it's real. Many years ago, when we were living by faith and had no fixed income, we had a little bit coming in every month that we knew about. The rest of the time, we just had to trust God that people and churches would support us. I may have told you this story before, but too bad. Here it is. Again, sorry. Mug says I shouldn't say, and yeah, here there's a pride thing. So anyway, for me. So as we faced this lack of finances, I used to be so proud. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was so proud that we were living by faith and we were trusting God, and you know, we just trusted God and He provides, and I used to preach on it, and I used to say it in a way that I now see was from a heart of pride. We didn't depend upon anyone, we just depended upon God. And so God put us through a time of like 6 or 9, 8 months, something like that, where we really struggled. I mean, we had to have garage sales to get money to pay our bills and try and see what we could sell. It was really a difficult period. And we lived on the principle that we owed no man anything. In other words, we paid our bills on time. And through that time, even though it was difficult, we did manage to pay our bills and we kept our head above water, but it, like, you went under the water and came up again for a gasp of air financially. And then finally, God got through to me. It wasn't Mike's fault, it was me. I was proud. And I heard of a guy who used to be the patron saint of living by faith, who had a change of heart and realized, no, you can tell people about your needs, and that challenged me to the core, and I began to realize that maybe God was speaking to me and teaching me something, a lesson in that. And the moment I bowed my knee to God in that situation, the money came right again, and we just lived by faith, and everything was paid on time, and we didn't have that huge, difficult patch anymore. It was over. God taught me, or was in the middle of teaching me, a lesson that I'm still learning today and struggling with, as I bet you are too. In Proverbs, there's two pathways, as I've mentioned, the pathway of the wisdom and the wise and the pathway of the foolish. And tied closely to those pathways is the way of pride for the fool and humility for the wise. And so you have the idea of the fool, as we saw a couple of weeks ago or last week, that the fool is unwilling to listen. Pride. Unwilling to take correction. Pride. Won't admit that they're wrong. Pride. But the wise will learn from others, and they'll be teachable right through life, even when they know so much. Humility. So it's very closely tied together. Wisdom is found in those who take advice, the Proverbs 13:10 says. So today we're going to look at two things. First of all, God's warning about pride, and then we're going to look at the wisdom of humility. A life, someone said, a life wrapped up in itself makes a very small package. Okay, so God's warning about pride. First of all, pride is destructive. Pride, the book of Proverbs is not like the rest of Scripture, which teaches, you know, you shall do this and you shall not do that. Although that's in the book of Proverbs, the primary focus of the book of Proverbs is a wise man, a sage, who believes and trusts in God and lives by God's word, looks at life and he observes. And he observes the pathway of the wise and the pathway of the fool. And he looks at the pathway of the proud. And he looks at the pathway of the humble person. And he sees what happens in life to those people. And so when you have Proverbs that say that, you know, pride comes before disgrace and a fall, then it's a wise man saying, I have observed in life that when people are proud, it's not long before they crash. And so God's warning about pride is that pride, first of all, is destructive in Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And then in Proverbs 16, we had read to us verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, a haughty, looking down your long nose at other people or other situations, a haughty, lifting yourself up and looking down on others, that comes before a fall. This quote is the only quote from my father that I remember. He used to preach all over the place, but I hardly went with him because for most of my teenage years I was a rebel and I didn't go to church anyway. And then he was a missionary and traveling around, so I hardly heard him, but I remember this quote. He said, I don't think he got it from anyone else, maybe he did, I don't know. But anyway, he said, today's peacocks are tomorrow's feather dusters. In Proverbs 18:12, we read, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. But humility comes before honor. We don't like seeing pride in others, do we? We really don't like seeing pride in others, a proud people. It turns us off. But you know what? We can react in pride to those who we perceive to be proud. And sometimes people do things which we perceive to come from a motivation of pride when it may not be at all, but our response to that can be a proud response. Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. Oh, there's lots of quotes about pride. You just Google it. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride brings him low. Solomon, the author of these Proverbs, he's observing life and he says, you know, a man's pride brings him low. But a man of lowly spirit gains honor. Secondly, not only is pride destructive, according to the book of Proverbs and God's word, pride is deceptive. It's easy to be blind to our own pride, isn't it? Easy to see it in others, but not see it in ourselves. Like the story I told you about myself, thinking that others who didn't live by faith, you know, I looked down my long nose at them. When God was looking at my pride and he was faithful, but he taught me a lesson through that. We can be so conceited. And someone might say, well, I'm not conceited, but I have every reason to be so. There was a minister in New Zealand who had in his congregation a man who was absolutely known to be so proud and conceited. Everyone in the congregation knew him to be like that. And one day this minister thought, right, I'm going to preach a sermon on pride and I'm going to make it so pointed that guy will wriggle in his seat and he will be convicted and he will change. So he got his sermon together and he preached his heart out. And everyone in the congregation slunk down in their seats because they could see what he was saying. He was pointed to that one man. After the sermon was over and the last song was sung, the minister went to the door to shake hands with the congregants and as they went out. And the first man up and out like a bolt was this man who was so proud and conceited. He went right up to the pastor, and the pastor thought, oh dear, what's going to happen here? He's going to blow his stack. He went up to him and he shook his hand. He said, that is just what they need to hear. You know, we can be proud evangelicals and look down our nose at those who don't agree with our understanding of Scripture. And there can be proud people who are liberals, theological liberals, and they can look down their long noses at us who are fundamentalists. Pride. At denominational pride. I'm a Quaker. And that's all right to be, in a sense, proud that you're a Quaker, but to look down your nose at others who don't agree with your or my doctrine or beliefs or form of church, that's pride. Or local church pride. You know, one of the churches we're involved in, God did it. I've got to say this because it grew really well, and the church doubled its size in a few years, and it was just going well. But it was because God brought people to us, and God worked in the children's ministry and other areas of the church so that it I was more of a problem to the growth than anything else, because I was me. It wasn't to do with me at all. But you know, as a church, we got to a place where I sensed, and others did, there was a sense of pride. You know, we're the fastest growing church in our neighborhood, in our area. Isn't it wonderful? And there was that, crept in that sense of, we're something. We really are. And when we realized that, we re-emphasized the need for prayer, and we got the church to come and pray. And we had, at one stage there, half the church turn up at a prayer meeting to get on our knees and say, God, forgive us. God, work in us. If you don't do it, it won't happen. By the way, prayer is an indication of humility, true prayer. It's saying, God, we can't do it ourselves, and we don't want to receive the glory. It's only for you. Pride is deceptive. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, writes, pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. Christ's strongest words were against the proud Pharisees and religious leaders of his day, those who wanted to be seen by men, who fasted on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they did that because lots of people went to the market on those days, apparently, and so they could see these Pharisees on the corner showing that they were fasting by their miserable face. Apparently that's what they did. The pride is deceptive. Thirdly, pride is detested by God. Listen to what God says. Proverbs 16, verse 5. The Lord detests. Wow, that's a heavy-duty word. God loves. God is a merciful, gracious, kind, and loving God. But God detests the proud of heart, all the proud of heart. Whoa. Whoa. He detests. And if you go back to chapter 6 of Proverbs, in verses 16 and 7, you find that you have here six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And that's a literary form of saying there's really seven, but it's to get your attention. Six things the Lord hates, seven things that are detestable to him. Then he says the seven things, he goes through them. The first one, top of the list, haughty eyes, looking down on others in some form or other. Why? Why does God detest all those with proud hearts? It's because it is idolatrous worship of self. It's putting myself higher than I should, and it leads to idolatrous worship of myself above God and what God has said and declared and shown. The Hebrew word for pride at the root, in its root meaning, is to be exalted or lifted high. And it has that same idea that those words that are used by worshippers for God, to exalt Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him, to lift Him up, to lift Him high, are the words we use for God in our worship, and rightly so. But when pride comes in, we lift ourselves up. We glorify ourselves. Even if it's faint and it's tinged, it's not maybe overtly out there, but it's there and God hates it. Proverbs 21 verse 4 says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin." Pride diminishes God and glorifies self. Humility is not being worthless. In other words, the opposite of pride is not to say, well, I won't exalt myself, but I'll just make myself worthless. I regard myself as worthless. No, you're not worthless. You were worth dying for, Jesus thought and believed and did. God is not proud. He doesn't exalt himself higher because he can't go higher. He is up there. And to glorify God is to do the right thing because he is exalted. He is the source of all things. He is the creator. He is God over all, blessed forever. And so we cannot exalt him higher than his station because he is the highest and cannot be higher. But when we exalt ourselves higher than our station, when we seek to be something we are not, or think of ourselves as something we are not, then we are proud. God hates haughty eyes, it says. And if you look in Luke's Gospel in chapter 18, you find there the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple praying. And let me remind you of what it says. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Hey, stop a minute. We don't do that here. When you allow any form of legalism to affect your mind and heart, you're being proud. Because you're saying, God accepts me and on the basis that I'm keeping my rules, the rules of the church, or the rules of the... I'm not talking about the law of God or the truth about righteousness. I'm talking about legalism, about what you should wear or shouldn't wear and where you should go and what music you should listen to or what movies you should watch or whatever, whatever. When you enter into any form of legalism, it's an evidence of pride because you are actually judging others by the rules that you have made for yourselves or have accepted from others towards yourself. And I've had a bit to do with legalistic Christians and legalistic churches, and it's a very sad thing. But here we have Jesus speaking to those who look down on everyone else. And Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and a Pharisee and one the Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up, prayed about himself. God, I thank you, I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I've got. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he was not even able to look up to heaven, beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who went away justified? Who was God pleased with? Who did God see a heart of pride and hate that? Not the person, but their heart of pride. Then it says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Jesus said that the next verse. Whoever exalts himself, whoever thinks of himself as great or herself as great and looks down on others because they have a certain righteousness and others don't, they will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted, and that man rose and walked with God out of the temple. The other man walked by himself. One prayed to God, the other prayed to the people. By the way, God is not proud. He was born in poverty and in a stinky stable when he became a man. He had no possessions, he had no prestige, he was rejected, despised and rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was rejected to the point where he was crucified on a Roman cross, stuck up there, half naked, spittle on him from those who spat, suffered and died. That's our God. And how do you think that God, with that heart and that mind, regards us who are puny, who think we are more than we really are? Yeah, God hates pride. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. God is not proud. This intellectual pride. Hey, I know, I've studied. I've been through college and I've done this degree and I've done this and I know this and stuff. And I look down on others who are speaking, but they don't have the knowledge base I do. And so it's all right to have that knowledge, but when you look at others through those eyes and diminish them, it's pride. There's intellectual pride. There is racial pride. And that's something that the world from year dot has struggled with. It hasn't just been the last century. It's been in many places around the world and over many, many hundreds of years in the history of the world. The social pride. As I was preparing the sermon, I thought about it, and I thought, well, yeah, Facebook. We went to the memorial service on Friday, and I took a picture and stuck it up on Facebook. And I looked at my motivation for doing that, and I thought, was it saying, oh, I've been to the memorial service. See? There's the photo. And I thought, no, honestly, I don't think that was a motive. Maybe it was lurking there somewhere, but it wasn't. I was actually glad as an Australian to say that I stand with the United States, as our nation does, in fighting together in the wars. And I know this is a peace church, but I'm just saying that we stand together with the United States in our desire to bring peace and freedom and maintain freedom in our world. And so that's why I put two flags out the front of our house, and they're there now, and why I attended the memorial service, because I'm glad to identify with them. But I had to check my motives, because it's so much we put up on Facebook and you think, well, why did I put that up? Really? It's so that people could, well, is it because I want them to see what a great guy I am? It's a challenge, isn't it? And there's all sorts of social pride, showing off. And then the spiritual pride, our gifts and abilities. And it can be negative as well as positive, like we can think we're great in what we do and we're not, or it's pride, or we can not get involved because we're too proud to maybe mess up. And so we don't want to injure our self-image, so we just don't get involved. The pride manifests itself in so many different ways. But for pride, Satan would not have fallen. That was the cause of the one who said, I want to be like God. And that's what he used as a temptation for Adam and Eve. And they, but for pride, they would never have fallen. But for pride, the Pharisees would never have rejected Jesus as the Christ. And so you can go on. Then we have the wisdom of humility. Humility. What is humility? Well, humility is three things. I want to go through these briefly. First of all, it's basically saying having a true estimate of yourself. See, if you can sing really well and you can act as well and you're really, really up there, it's not saying, oh, I'm not a really good singer and I can't really act well. It's saying, I am a good singer, but God has gifted me with that. And I value my teachers and others who have helped me and so on and so on, so that I'm not putting myself up there as somebody who has it and therefore I'm proud of it. I choose that vocation because I think one of the biggest problems with Hollywood is pride. Right? It covers every vocation, every gift and ability, and so on. Having a true estimate of yourself before God is saying, I know where I stand. I've been created in God's image. I'm not an ant. I'm not an angel. I'm a human. And so I will accept I have a true estimate, knowing what God has done in creating me as one in His image. I see myself as God sees me, and I accept that. I don't make myself more than I really am. And so Proverbs 22 verse 2 talks about rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. It doesn't matter how high up the ladder you are or how far down you are. In God's view, we're all equal. Romans 12 verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Or have a realistic view, one version has, of yourself. A realistic view of yourself. And so it's not saying, think of yourself as nothing. That's not humility, but think of yourself as God sees you and as you are before Him. C.S. Lewis defined humility this way. He said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Secondly, it's not only having a true estimate of yourself before God, it's having a true estimate of yourself before others. I read the book Humility by Andrew Murray many years ago when we were living in New Zealand. So that was 20 odd more years ago. And even before then. Anyway, I can't remember anything but just one thing out of that book. It's funny, isn't it? When you read a book, often it's just one thing that stays with you. And I find that anyway. Maybe I can't handle more than that. Now, was that a pride thing? Did that come from? Anyway, trying to be false humility, maybe? Oh dear. Okay. But anyway, really, I got one thing out of that book, and that was that I'm humble. If I'm humble before God, I'm humble before others. I can't say I'm humble before God and not be humble before others. It's like loving God and loving others. It ties together so closely. So to be humble before God, or a humble heart, humility, manifests itself in your dealings with others around you. With those closest to you, where it's more likely to come out when you're proud, or among those that you mix with in work or in church and so on, where you tend to, we tend to hide behind a facade of acceptability within that group. Also, our humility of spirit is tested when we are treated less than we deserve. All right, we're at the station, but if we're treated like a dog, how do we respond to that? Is that a pride thing or a humble thing, my response to the way I'm treated lower than I really should be? So there's big challenges there. And I want you to notice in the big passage in the New Testament that talks about pride and humility by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, he says, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, even that terrible, humiliating form of death. He says, before that, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking at your own interests, but each of you look to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. He doesn't say there, in humility, count others lower than, or count yourselves lower than others. He doesn't say that. That's not humility. He says, in humility, value others. It's a different version. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. So it's not you lowering yourself before others, it's lifting up others. That's humility. So humility and serving others and loving others and welcoming others and everything other is linked together. I'm humble when I serve, when I love. False humility. What is false humility? Because we can be manifesting ourselves as being humble when we're really proud. And the key to that is when we intentionally put ourselves down to be seen or admired by others. When we, oh no, I won't do that, and we do it, we say it in a way that makes us feel good because, hey, I'm portraying the image that I'm humble when in fact we're not at all. So genuine heart humility is the heart of Christ who gave for others, who valued others. Didn't lower himself, but he valued others to the point where he was willing to suffer and die on a cross. He valued you in that way. François de la Rochefoucauld, however you pronounce his name. Obviously he's French. Anyway, he says, humility is often a false front we employ to gain power over others. True humility is about focusing on others. As it says in James chapter 3, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And finally, a true estimate of ourselves before God, a true estimate of ourselves before others, and then a true estimate of our abilities. As it says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who makes you different from anyone else? What have you that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? So anything that we can do that is appreciated by others around us is from God. Why do we boast as if it's us? You know, I play the piano by ear. I don't know why. I just was born with that. It's nothing for me to lift myself up and say, hey, you're a cut above the others because you can play by ear. What? What a lot of rot. I didn't get that because I earned it or anything. It was a gift of God. It has other problems with it. When I was a teenager, can I tell you the story? Yes, I will. When I was a teenager, I had a friend whose name was Paul Daly. Paul and I were good mates, and we used to knock around together and stuff, but he was a musician in a way. He played guitar and I played the piano, and we used to occasionally, not often, but occasionally we just play stuff together. And his father was high in evangelical circles in Melbourne, and in Melbourne they had Youth for Christ rallies, and they had This Is Life rallies, which was very similar to Youth for Christ. All the youth would come together in a big auditorium place, and they'd have music, and they'd have things, and a speaker, and so on. This is back in the 60s. So his father, Paul's father, arranged for us to be able to play guitar and piano as an item, sort of special music, at one of these This Is Life rallies. Oh, yeah, she'll be right, we'll do that, you know. Now, I thought of myself right up there in terms of playing piano. But when we got there and played, it was pathetic. It really was pathetic. It just was a guy playing a guitar and another person banging away at the piano. And as we were doing it, I was thinking, what am I doing? What an idiot. And I thought, I hung my head. I couldn't get out of there quick enough. Because pride in my ability blinded my eyes to what I really was like. I could play a bit, but hey, it was nothing really compared with what should have been at an occasion like that. God lays low the mighty and exalts the lowly. Jesus said, those who exalt themselves will be abased, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Our gifts, our responsibilities in the ministry of the church, our leadership, God gives us that for us to serve Him and serve others with. It's a gift. I want to finish with Matthew 11, verses 28. 29. Some of it is this, and it'll go up there. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Discipleship is following Christ in our hearts, which starts with humility. Pride is the primal sin. It's the source sin for all other sins. Humility is like a primal grace from which all other graces come. And he says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You'll find rest for your souls. Andrew Murray said, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven will live in you. Pride and the Spirit of God don't mix. The Spirit of God will not fill us and show His life through us if we have pride. They don't go together. Get rid of pride. A humble heart is what, and you'll see the quote there, a humble heart is what God is calling for. The next quote, sorry, Andrew Murray. Let us pray. Father, if you've spoken, and I believe you have, to our hearts in any way today, help us to translate that into the way we have attitudes towards you and towards those around us. to our abilities, those things in us that we like about ourselves. Help us to bring them to the foot of the cross and to have hearts that are gentle and humble like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.